Look, I remembered to record. Excellent. Welcome to the 12th of May, Aries Working Group B call. We're glad you're here. I do not yet have the link in the chat, but the link will be in the chat shortly. Add yourself to the attendees list if you'd like, or make any other adjustments to the meeting agenda. Anyone new here today would like to introduce themselves?
I think I'm new here. My name is Paul Wenzel. I'm from Germany and part of the LISSI team you might have heard about, and also ID Union. And we are currently developing an agent for businesses as well as for end users.
Excellent. Welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Right, Hyperledger Global Forum coming up in June. Related meetings. We all offer the DIDCOM working group. We have been talking about keys by reference versus value, some other things as well. But that's a kind of a key important one that we have been addressing. And other community meetings that we want to cover.
Indy Did Method, we keep moving forward. Interesting question today of where in Indy, because you can have a schema separate from a claim def. They could reside on different ledgers. Do we want to? So we've asked the community about that. But other than that, again, ready to define the development tasks. We also had Indy contributors this week with moving forward with the CD portion of Node Plenum and being ready for a Ubuntu 2004 release real soon now.
Nice.
And the Identity Implementers Working Group call. This is our off week, so no call tomorrow. Our next call will be a week from tomorrow on May 20th.
Thank you, Steve. I'll also bring up briefly the Wacky PEX working group or the topic work item stuff at the CNC working group at the DIF. But that's also on our agenda for discussion a little bit later. So we'll get to that in a minute. Any other meeting updates? All right, let's charge into work updates. Steven, what do you got for us?
Big one is we just came off an Aries Cloud Agent Python user group meeting, release 070, release candidate 01 will be coming this week. Universal resolver for reading, the BBS plus JSON LD credentials, endorser signing, and ready to merge is the diff presentation exchange work that's been going on. That's going to be the last major piece that we're going to have. So then we'll get 070 out. And then conversation started today, super interesting on registration of other registration using other ledgers. So being able to use DidWeb as a writer, as an issuer, for example. And using DidWeb as the did method that the issuer is using. So that I think will come fairly soon after and be in the next release. So that was an interesting conversation. We also talked a bunch about persistent queue handling and different scenarios for that. Getting into very deep topics these days.
Awesome. All right. Aries framework go. I don't see Troy. We're really light today. Someone have a party and not tell the rest of us. Bifold. Any updates there, James?
This is the off week, so not too much to update there, but continuing progress.
Awesome. Okay. Any other code updates we want to talk about.
I guess here, did you already touch on shared components?
That was a bit late. Did not, but go ahead. Sorry, we skipped that.
So there's a large update to Askar. I put out some pre-release versions for OPA 0.2 version, largely a rewrite on the key handling. So it's got P256 keys, it's got P256K1, it's got three kinds of AES keys to support the new key wrapping key agreement mechanisms for DIDCOM V2 for ECDH ES and the new ECDH 1PU up to draft 4 now.
Very cool.
Yeah, so there's a low-level Askar crypto crate, which is no standard, could be compiled to WASM potentially. And then there's Askar itself, which adds sort of the KMS key storage and record storage capabilities. And then the Python wrapper.
Awesome.
Say that the WASM is sort of theoretical at this point, but if somebody wanted to pick that up, it could be interesting.
Nice. Awesome. Any other work updates? Okay, so we have two items planned for our agenda today. One is working about through our last items of AIP next, but there's looky here. There's another item on our agenda for the first time in forever. And perhaps first we have to talk about the Wacky PEX effort and what we could do about it. To help the effort and to make that happen. In fact, I think we will do that first, although I'm lazy enough, I probably won't change it in the agenda. Any adjustments we want to make to the agenda before we get going? Stuff we got to be talking about. Okay. Let me dive into the Wacky PEX stuff. For context, these are the Jello Bowl discussions at IW that turned into a, we should do something about this afterwards, that became a work item of the Claims and Credentials Working Group at the DIF. And the general proposal is to try and come up with the narrowest cross-community presentation, credential presentation interaction that we can define. And we have a huge opportunity to sort of bind together communities that previously have not really been interoperable in any way. This is related a little to the VCHTTPI discussions, not as it exists now, but they've been talking about expanding that to include wallet interactions, which has some problematic aspects of it. And so this proposal is designed to sort of make that not as necessary. This is an alternative, basically, to that expansion. And this is so Wacky comes from wallet and credential interactions. That's what Wacky comes from. And it was proposed by Bloom at IIW. There's some sessions there that kind of led to a bunch of this stuff. And what this does is it describes a way of sort of interacting and doing credential exchanges, very JWT heavy in how they present messages and things like that. And lots of callback URLs. It's very HTTP specific. And how they actually make things work. It's worth noting that they use the presentation. I'm trying to find a thing here. It uses the presentation exchange format from the DIF as the sort of the definition of that. I'm not finding it as I'm scrolling, but it's in here somewhere, I promise. So here's like the presentation definition. for example. And so that's a presentation submission with a presentation exchange defined thing. So here's the interactions. There's a sort of an ad hoc way of doing QR codes and all of that stuff. And so that's in here. And there's been some discussions, they're fairly early, but the idea is to pull as much as we can from various communities. This is a weird overlap for this call a little, because the target would be DidCom V2, which is kind of very nearly there. And they would probably end up using sort of a minimal subset of that. You know, there would be some things for simplicity placed off the table, like either message routing or at least advanced message routing and things like that to make that effort easier. In conversations to figure out what to do, I'm going to blame Stephen for this. He said it would be cool to actually try and, in the same format of this sort of a spec, present what the AIP2 version of this would actually be. And that would be really instructive from the perspective of trying to compare what Bloom had originally proposed with what the sort of the counterpoint and DidCom 2 with some Aries protocols would actually look like. Whether it's DidCom 2, they're aiming for DidCom 2 for key reasons, so it's going to be a little bit of a mishmash. Anyway, that was kind of the idea of what we might be able to do as an Aries community, to try and put the present proof protocols in here, et cetera. Stephen, I had an observation too. There's actually two pieces of this. One is the issuing a credential, and the other one is presenting a credential. And I think the only thing that they're focusing on now is this is the issuer. I think the only thing they're working on now is the presentation, which may mean we can actually just only mimic this piece of the document rather than all of it as a starter, since that's kind of what the focus is. And that might be easier for us to tackle. Any thoughts there?
And as well, if we do only connectionless proof request response, it's super short. I mean, the JSON gets pretty long when you paste it all in, but it's basically an out-of-bound message and a response to an out-of-bound message, and the out-of-bound message has certain things in it.
Right. And that would be, and the nice part there is we're saying, hey, let's do it this way, and it's based on stuff that a bunch of us are already doing.
Yep.
As opposed to something else. I am mildly nervous about this approach because I don't want to come off as the fact that you know the Aries people are trying to take over the universe, but I also think it's instructive to say, hey, here's what we've got that's already defined, and then as a in the Wacky PEX discussions we can talk about whether we want to blend that with something else, or if there's some simplifications that we can take, or something else from that manner. So looking for general feedback, and if someone was really excited and wanted to take the challenge of adapting the existing written stuff into a format like this, that would be a very valuable thing for our community and for the Wacky PEX discussions. Any comments, questions, thoughts? Volunteers?
I don't want to volunteer. But I can.
I think, Stephen, if you took a first stab at it, then we could crawl over it and make improvements wherever needed.
One of the real values I see in this is that we would point to, here's a bunch of context, and oh, by the way, here is the RFC, the only RFC you've got to read to be able to understand this. So they might be able to get people that have, refused to look at the Aries RFCs might be more willing to take a look at one RFC where they already know the context of it, and here's the second one. So anyway, we'll see.
What I think you could do, Stephen, is above the request share, as necessary, just put a little mark there that says, this has been removed since it's not the target, and we could always then come back later and add it if we need to.
Yeah.
And that substantially reduces the scope of what would actually, and then right down here, there's a credential manifest thing, but I don't think that's all separate.
That's so, an entire spec inside a spec.
It is kind of a spec inside of a spec. And instead of doing that, we can just kind of hopefully point to the existing stuff that we've got.
Yeah.
But
But the other thing I want to do is say sort of here is the, you know, assumptions coming in, you know, the wallet has a credential in it. Don't know how it got there.
Right.
It did. And stuff like that. So, yeah.
Well, and I think what's going to happen is if people see this and they're like, oh, well, like we should talk about how the credential actually gets there. And maybe we include that as a next work item or something. And I think that we would be well poised to also help with that aspect of it. But cool. So this should be actually relatively small, but I think that that would be a good step forward. Stephen, if you have time before this weekend, I can take a look and it would be fun to share that on Monday.
Yeah. I've got a chunk of time on Friday that I'm aiming for.
Awesome. I should have some time on Friday as well. I've got something else speaking for Thursday right now.
Yeah.
So very cool. Any questions, thoughts? Thanks, Stephen, for willing to take at least the first initial stab at this. Are you going to do this in HackMD, Stephen, to make this easy?
Yes, that's the plan.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so that's what's there. Hopefully that was interesting. I will try and report back. I've been trying to attend those wearing both my DIDCOM hat and my Aries hat, and Stephen has been there as well. If you are interested, then you can get involved. If your org's got less than 1,000 people, then there's a free DEF membership anyway. So that should make it a little bit easier. And you'll need to sign the working group charter to handle the IPR considerations. Okay. Next up on the block, you'll notice, by the way, that I added another exclamation point to the last AIP2 call. So we want to talk about these things here. There has been some work on this particular one. This is 652, opened by George. And there's been a bunch of stuff in the last week and even in the last day. And unfortunately, I don't see anyone here that has been commenting, which is a little bit unfortunate. There has been some commentary on this. It still is not DCO passed, which is one of our issues. I'd ask for anyone here to offer a summary, but no one I believe is here that has been commenting. This is our last active PR, I believe, unless some of the issues kick up some other ones. Any other commentary by anyone who is here? This is an attempt to sort of manage the scope of the presentation exchange as defined at the diff as it applies into our protocols. And so there's a bunch of conversation about what's recommended, what's optional, what's needed, et cetera. So, okay. So unfortunately we don't have anyone to comment on that. Also issues here, starting from the bottom, this one links to 510, which is the one that we just looked at. And then we have diddoc and diddoc attach. And I don't know that anything remains here. Okay. This one is Stevens for transitioning to accepted state. We have two new ones, I believe. And this one is also should be related. And I think this one is two. This is the keys by value or key by reference tag that's over happening over in DIDCOM v2. Comment that we should update. So ECDH1PU is related. This will be for the subtarget as it relates to prepping for DIDCOM v2. Yes, Stephen, we're done with AIP2. Stephen, you opened this one about removing links in the examples of the attachments RFC.
Yeah, the only reason is we're including the attachments in, and I don't know if anyone's read those attachments. I hadn't noticed those examples. But man, I don't think they really belong there. So if you go to the links section, linked attachments.
Where am I here?
There. there. So, you know, you can have a link that is a, scroll up a little, a link that is just an HTTP link, a link that is a hash link. And those two, I'm kind of, yeah, those kind of make sense, but an S3 bucket, a BitTorrent, a double indirection BitTorrent, a previous DIDCOM message, or a future DIDCOM message. I think those are all things that would require significant implementation. As I understand them, those would be, you'd have to have a client basically for each of those things to be able to support it.
So outside of the examples, are there any other discussion elsewhere in the RFC about these, or is it just here in the examples?
Just there in the examples that links are allowed. And I think when links were allowed, I think we thought of the ordinary HTTP content idea, and maybe hash links, but even that would take special handling. But these other ones are like out there, in my opinion.
I think this is a casualty of thinking large,
with
what the possibilities are, not necessarily what we ought to be doing now. So given that we're going to include this, I definitely think some cleanups could actually happen here. I think I'm inclined to change this to just be an HTTP example, but also include the hash.
Yep.
And then remove all of these.
Yep.
Any other comments or thoughts?
I mean, I don't have any disagreement, but like, I mean, do we want to be more explicit? Like,
and say you can only use HTTP?
Yeah, saying we're only standardizing on HTTP. I mean, like not FTP, like it says a couple lines up there, or any other transport protocol. Because like, I mean, if we're just removing the examples, we're still leaving it available to be whatever the actual spec says, which I haven't read this in a while, so I don't know what it says, but.
My suggestion would be we remove them, including the follow text that we were showing, and say, you know, if specific agents want to support it for a specific ecosystem, that's possible. And in future, we may add, you know, sort of community agreed upon support for other protocols.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd just be better not to be wishy-washy, just say,
yeah,
we do HTTP and HTTPS and that's it for links for right now. Or that's it. And then obviously we can always add more as use cases arise or community members, you know, have need or whatever. Or
I think we could say as proposed or like, you know, others may be proposed.
Yeah.
But right now we're sticking to HTTP, HTTPS.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Devin, and I agree. I'll be glad to take this and do some crafting of a sentence.
Does anyone disagree with this or think that we ought to be more permissive than just HTTP, HTTPS for now? All right, Stephen, I think that's your answer. Oh, go ahead. Yes, please.
Can we maybe throw Gopher in there?
No. This would be a fantastic April Fool's Day RFC, though.
I love if scroll one bit down to the paragraph below the examples. However, they should at least recognize the meaning of each of the variants listed above so they can perform intelligent error handling and communication about the ones they don't support. AKA anything other than HTTP, HTTPS, send problem report saying no.
Well, it's offense. This was written a long time ago.
It was. It was. It was just, it amazed me when I went through this and went, wait, what?
I mean, it was like a couple of years ago, which in internet years is a long time. So
it was this one in particular, the last one, even via a promise to supply the content at some point in the future in a subsequent DIDCOM message. What? Anyway. All right.
That
good enough.
That's some classic Daniel dreaming, I think.
Yeah,
it is. Daniel wrote this, and he wrote this at a time in our community when a lot of this stuff was not very solid yet. Right. And so I think he was trying to sort of lay stuff out. And now that we've actually made a lot of progress since then, I think it's a lot easier to dial in and constrain stuff. And I think he would agree there that it's a good thing to dial this in. And we're not saying you can't ever do this in the future, but we're saying here's where we're focusing now. Right. So totally. Cool. All right. I think that's the answer on your ticket, Stephen. So the answer is yes.
Do you want to just assign that to me if you can?
I can't assign that to you. It's either you or me, so you are used better. Yeah. Cool. Okay. So that's this one. This one is just a note we have to chase down. And the kid discussion is also there.
Is that ever going to be answered?
So first, let's, given that we don't have anything pressing at the moment, this is actually a really good conversation. When we designed DIDCOM 1, just called, DIDCOM at the time, or not even DIDCOM yet, I think it was labeled that a little later, we had the discussion about keys by value or keys by reference. And the idea was that in the encryption side, you would just specify the actual keys that were used. Now, we didn't do that super elegantly. For example, we assumed that everything was an 8255.9 key. But the result of that was you could always decrypt a message just by seeing it. You would, of course, you would have to look up your own private key that corresponded to the public key that was specified in the recipient of the message, and then you could decrypt the message. Now, there were some unelegant things about how we did that. Particularly, we weren't tolerant of multiple key types and everything else. So DIDCOM 2 is fixing that. And we had a discussion early on about whether where the outer envelope is now more formally a JWE instead of kind of a JWE the way that it is now. And so the question became, well, do we actually include the keys just right there, or do we refer to the keys using a key ID instead of the actual inline key? And early on, the conclusion was sort of very resoundingly, oh, we're just going to include the keys. In that way, the encryption layer can decrypt the message no matter if it's never seen the sender key or not. And then the recipient can then inside of the decrypted payload would be a from and a to field, which would contain DIDs. And of course, you'd have to validate the keys using the encryption layer in the inside layer. Oh, good. Troy, shut up. There's some good, should be some good color here. So the discussion has happened lately about whether we should still do keys that way or whether keys should actually be by reference, which is really convenient when you have a key that actually has a smaller reference than it does the actual key value. But there's a bunch of complications. For example, if it refers to a key that you actually don't know of, then you're incapable of decrypting the message. And so in order to make things like peer dids work, you would actually have to include the entire peer did itself in the from field, the encrypted from, it's encrypted to the sender in order for the recipient to actually have the keys if they didn't already to be able to decrypt the message. And so that's the grand discussion that's going on right now about and that's happening in the DIDCOM V2 working group at the DIF about the approach that we actually take there. And that will be a fun one to unravel as we try and figure out what the best option going forward is. So, Troy, did I inaccurately represent anything in there?
No, I think maybe the other thing is, there's also the possibility of both, if that made sense as well. I think my conclusion in my head is SCID, having a key ID always makes sense. You're going to have to validate it later in the from field anyways. So it makes good sense there. And the key value piece, I think there should be some maybe more discussion on what you do in the failure case anyways, because if you can't resolve it later on in the from field, you are going to error out later, because you do want to link that from to the actual authenticated encryption that happened. So this isn't a pass at all on being able to resolve the key ID. You're going to have to do it before you can actually successfully process the message. So having key value there is to me only about, hey, maybe you could post an error message or have a log or something like that. But it's not a pass at all about avoiding the evaluating that did anyways. Sorry if I lost people, but let me know.
No, so there, I have zero argument on the resolution issue, right? If you're unable to resolve, then you're dead anyway. There is, here's part of the question. If the ID always makes sense and the value sometimes makes sense, I mean, here's one of the interesting things that you could do, right? Is that if we decided that you have to resolve it anyway, and you would be passing it by value, you're often going to be in a case where you have a pure did, because that's how it would resolve, right? So if in the case of a pure did, if the sender key ID was in fact the full thing that we used to have in the from field in, you know, on the inside, then you would of course be able to be notified and resolve that. That would be true, I think, even in the case of a rotated did. The rotated did inside the from prior would be necessary to authorize the movement to that key, but would still actually work. So I don't know. I think in my brain, if you pass things like that, then I don't know that there's ever actually a case where you'd actually need to provide the value alongside the ID, simply because the ID may contain the value itself, or should in all cases where you need it.
Yeah, I tend to agree that if possible, it'd be nice to just put the ID in and not worry about value.
Well, yes, and the ID would contain the value in all necessary cases.
Yeah, I mean, those are cases like the peer did where the did URI has it anyways, right? That's
yes. What you
mean? Yeah.
There's some cases that could be a little more advanced where you may not want to pass along, it's a little complicated, but you may not want to pass along all of the deltas or something, but those are scenarios I don't have my head fully wrapped around yet. So it seems like if there's pushback and we should use IDs, that going to only IDs and then yanking stuff for redundancy out of the interior portion of the message seems like a good idea. I don't know that keeping them redundantly makes sense.
Yeah, I don't love the redundant option. I'm not really sure which side of this I fall on right now. Like, I have mild reservations on both sides, I think. I like the, there's the kind of purity. It is didcom, so making it clearly from a did to a did, or at least from a did key to a key is nice. There's maybe an issue with the message size if we're embedding the raw keys and those key, the public keys get large, maybe with quantum safe keys or whatever. And then on the other side, I suppose there's maybe the impact of spam messages. If you have to go off and resolve the key every time, that may have a different impact than if you can just try decrypting the message first and then maybe do some resolution.
Right. Right. So and here's a question.
I was just going to say on that one, like, even if you're going to go in that direction, I kind of prefer to know upfront that I'm not going to be able to process it later. So if I don't want to bother, then I don't have to. But I agree with the other points that, you know, it's, I think, you know, this is DIDCOM. It would be nice that our key IDs were DIDs. And, you know, I think there could be concern about sizes that won't come up necessarily for DIDs that don't have values when we're just talking about IDs. And I think, you know, we should also remember that the spec that we're basing this on is based on IDs and not values. So just if all things being equal means I would think we should stick to IDs. But
you mean the spec meaning JWE?
The ECDH1PU.
Right.
Well, and I guess JWEs in general with the JWKs, right?
JWKs can be.
I meant the reference, key ID. Yeah, sorry.
So here's a question. Is there ever a case where the key ID, either for the sender or the recipient, would not be a DID plus a key pointer within the DID document? Would you ever use some other thing?
I just don't think so. Like, I mean, I'll go first. I just don't think so, because inside the DIDCOM message, we're going to have a from and a to that are, you know, limited to being DID URIs anyways. So it's just, it just seems odd that somehow the encryption envelope doesn't have the exact same restriction to me.
So I like that. We could say, hey, the key ID must be a DID key reference, right? Because this is DIDCOM, which I like about that. So Troy, you had made the argument that keeping the from and the to inside of the content is still valuable, despite the fact that it would be totally redundant with the outside.
Yeah, I don't know how much of a valuable argument to make on that. It's just like from a data model perspective, it's nice to say that the inner data model has all the information you need. I think also if you weren't wrapping it in an envelope, not that I have those cases personally, but if you weren't, you would need the from and the to.
Right. So you would have to include some extra metadata or something.
Yeah. And I just think like in the data model, we would regardless have that in our structure. Just depends on how you populated it, I guess, but it is nice to be consistent that whether you put envelopes on top or not, that everything's there.
So one of the ways out of this is making that field optional, making both of those fields optional. And if they are present, of course, in the encrypted envelope, it's the same value, which means that if you received a message and you didn't want to persist the encryption envelope, you could just insert those values into the message as from and to. Right. So there'd be a ready place to actually store them in a non-conflicting, perfectly understandable way. I think that may be the way around that, right? So that you don't have to be redundant, but you could be. And if you're trying to represent it in just full form as it is, then you'd be able to solve that too. Okay. Other thoughts about it? I got to remember, Troy, I got to keep on top of the chat with you too, because you tend to reply that way, which is awesome. I just have to remember.
Yes, sorry. Sometimes I just have noise, but actually today is pretty quiet. So
no, you're good.
Now I'm in habit.
other thoughts or comments or questions about the key versus value issue, the ID versus value. It will certainly be better received, I think, in the general JW Splat community if we do IDs like this, because it's not seen as a bending of their spec.
I would agree with that too, I think.
Yeah, I think it bypasses some complexity as well, because then we don't have to worry about key representations, whether they're raw keys or JWKs or, you know, all the options that opens up.
Right. It also means that if you are talking to a party that you know knows you, then you can be more efficient in how you, you know, refer it. You don't have to include, you know, it's just did, which passes it along. So that's not too bad. Cool. Okay. So the other, Troy, we had a handful of things that are linked to George, and George can't be with us today. So there's a handful of things here.
Sorry, it's 609. I might not have mentioned 609 to him. I mentioned the other one, 609.
Well, I did ping him. To see and got no response. This was actually before last week. And so I think the there's a couple of other issues, but almost all of them I think the remaining ones we have are tied to George in their open form, and we think they're done, but we're trying to make sure.
Yeah, I mean, you could talk about the details one below. I guess there's some discussion in there if you haven't already.
This relates, I think, to this other PR. Hang on, that's not the PR.
Too many tabs.
Hang on. I will find it.
Oh, right, that one.
Okay, so here's this one. It's 510, right. But we also have the pull request, which is this one.
Oh, sorry, I don't know which one's which.
Me neither, but here was the PR that he opened, and then there hasn't been a comments on, I guess a little over a week ago, there was some, and then there was the 510 PR, which I believe is the resolution eventually of that issue here.
Yeah, and this is where I put comments. Yeah, right. This is the one I put comments on.
So I think these are actually tied together. This still doesn't have a passing DCO, but you're here. Is there any commentary you'd like to make on this particular PR?
So I'm trying to remember back. I think the...
To 9 hours ago?
No, before that. The comment I made before was you do need a presentation proof to authenticate the holder along with the derived credential. A derived credential, of course, is there's no like secret values in it. So it's just going to be a data blob with some fields removed. If you want to know this came from a holder, you do need some kind of holder authentication mechanism. So, you know, the traditional example in the VCs has been, you know, put a presentation with a proof on it. And that proof ends up being the signature of the holder. It doesn't mean it has to be a BBS signature. It's whatever the holder key is, right? And I think my other comment was, when you are using a BBS key as a holder, it's of type BBS BLS signature 2020, not BBS BLS signature proof 2020. That proof 2020 is really for our derived verifiable credential. And the one without proof is just a normal signature that you made using that kind of key. So that was, I think, one of the bigger comments I made on this. That you still need something like that, and that the key type of the holder is not bound to the key type of the credential itself. So you could have like a Edwards curve signature or a BBS signature from the holder.
Related question. Yeah, that totally helps. This may be a little off topic. How does the proof of from the holder relate to the fact that it's sent in an authenticated encrypted message?
I mean, you can't really guarantee that they're the same. Like, we don't have anything beyond this right now, right? So, you know, if you establish like a peer-to-peer connection with a verifier to the holder, I mean, that kind of has nothing to do with whatever the holder key on the credential is.
Well, unless they're... DID document contains both, right? If the DID you exchange is part of, you know, talking, right, contains both a, let's say, an Edwards curve key that you use for this and a BLS key that you use, or whatever the credential needs, right? The credential, for, you know, the key type for the credential, and they're both contained in the DID document. Doesn't that provide some sort of assurance there?
Well, I mean, then you would also have to put, I think, that same ID into the credential itself, because you're really trying to say who you're authenticating the holder of the credential, right?
Right.
And if there's nothing in the credential that gives you that association, then you wouldn't know that it's related to the connection.
The reason this is a little off topic is that I think it's going to come up in the Wacky Peck stuff.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to end up being kind of a weird substitute where people try to argue that the signature is better than an authenticated encryption.
Right. Yeah. No. Well, I think there's two properties here, right? One of them is the association, which is definitely the stronger point. And then you can get into, you know, the differences between a signature and authenticated encryption as a second point. But currently, you know, you need the association capability. And I guess the way we have that now in this world is with this holder proof, right? I mean, I think there's discussions about what could happen later, even in the PEX thing, but I don't know that there's anything else right now.
Okay.
That's specced out, you know what I mean?
So we're really close to having this be done, right? I think there's only a couple of remaining issues. And I think that most of the remaining issues, probably just because of unfortunate overlaps with George's schedule, has meant that we haven't been able to resolve them with him. But I think that most of them are. Is there anything that we can do to help that process out? Is there a different time that would be convenient to talk through some of these things? How else can we help resolve some of these issues that George has brought up that are not yet resolved?
So I think on 652, my understanding is like in the next couple sessions that should probably be taken care of. I don't know about the other one.
Sessions by meetings?
Yeah, sorry. But I don't know what the other one, the 652 one, I guess I completely forgot to ask him about that.
Okay, because I would love AIP2 to happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I totally agree. I do think we still have that to resolve the SKID thing as well. So I guess we still have those two topics, right?
Yes, we also run the minor risk that we can't indefinitely keep AIP2 open for the progress that needs to happen over for in DIDCOM V2. I've realized that there's a bit of a dependency there, but we also I don't feel like we have to nail everything. And if there's a few other minor adjustments that need to be made in between the DIDCOM V2 prep as a sub-target and DIDCOM V2, that at least we're most of the way there, right? There may be some minor tweaks here or there, but I don't think we need to hold that open. I don't think we need to hold AIP 2 open for the resolution of all those issues. Does that make sense? Right? We're not including DIDCOM V2 as a direct dependency. We're just trying to get closer.
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of had this like side thought while you're saying that as well, which is, you know, one of the interesting things about AIP2 is, I don't know if like everything's already implemented by somebody that's in AIP2. So, there's this interesting like thought about, what happens when, you know, we actually do finally get two guys who've implemented everything that's in that profile, but we have to change something. Does that mean it's like AIP 2.1, or we should have gone with the AIP draft until it was actually implemented? Sorry about the process thought. It just feels like somewhat related. But.
No, totally. Steven, you're unmuted.
Yeah. I mean, my feeling is we would go ahead. Like I'd like to see it wrapped up so that we can target it. I've gone through at least what we need to do, and it's relatively small, but the big ones being, you know, all these envelope ones and, you know, getting those aligned. But I think we've paid a fair amount of attention to those. I do agree that 510 is problematic. So I would prefer to go ahead, and if we have to, you know, do clarifications, or if it's the first implementer, we update the AIP and still call it 2.0, or we go ahead with changing it to 2.1 if it means somebody's got to change something.
We do allow for clarifications without changing the version number.
Absolutely. We allow for clarifications, but we don't allow for changes necessarily. I get where Troy's coming from and whether we want to hold up, but I think holding it up, that would hold it up for several months, I would say. And I'm not a big fan of that considering how far we've come with it. I don't want that, but you know, it's hard to keep pointing other people to say, okay, AIP2, and then point them to a PR.
Right.
Yeah, like it kind of, well, to me, I guess it kind of feels like we're like AIP2, like release candidate, right? I just wonder about, you know, do we kind of like say final once we've actually implemented it? But so I don't know if there's like something in between these things.
And if we have to, we go to 2.1. Takes me back to Windows days where only odd numbered releases were any good.
Nice. Hey, do we know what's like currently left open in AIP2 or like
that's,
you did that's list a, already? Didn't, yeah, sorry, I missed the beginning.
No, it's totally. It's this one right here.
Okay.
And it is,
that's it.
And there's a couple of issues, but most of the issues are related to getting resolved. Steven opened this one, but we talked about that and resolved it today. And we can decide whether this is actually included or not yet. Right.
So I mean, like, interestingly, the 587 currently says it's a DID, doesn't it? So, I mean, technically, as far as I know, RFC 587 already has that language. This is just about, do we not want it to be a DID?
Right.
Yes. So if everybody goes along with it's a DID, I guess we're still done.
Yes, that's my point. And even if we had to adjust something later, I think that's fine. I don't think it's worth trying to track DIDCOM V2 to the very last second.
Yeah, for sure. I guess I had one question then on 587, which would just be the top one. I think I saw Andrew mentioned that he's already implemented this draft 4 of 1PU. I'm going to assume Andrew would like us to bump that forward then, or is that, would I understand what you would think properly, Andrew?
I don't really have a position. I kind of feel like that should be decided in the DIDCOM working group first, make sure that people are happy with the draft changes.
If we're not, that's really complicated, right?
So I kind of, yes. There will be a draft 5, I think, at least.
Unless we reach a point where the ECDH 1PU turns off in a wholesale different direction that disallows some of the things that we really need to do, I think we'll just need to update to the drafts as they come.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll lock one at some point, but you know, as we sort of finalize the first version of DIDCOM V2, but I don't think it's plausible to like yell at that cloud.
So I guess my suggestion then, if there's indifference, I kind of feel like it makes sense because like this is an unexpired draft that we can have as being current at the time of AIP2. So unless there's like a reason not to, it'd be nice just to like reset this to draft 4. I can open a PR, no problem. Just wanted to see if there's like if anybody had an issue with that.
Does anyone have any complaints about that? Can you quickly detail what's in draft 4, what the changes are?
So I myself haven't gone through that as much as Andrew, so like, I don't want to volunteer someone, but it'd be nice if Andrew mentioned it.
Sure. There's a small change to the key derivation, which requires you to encrypt the ciphertext first, and then you mix the tag that was produced from that encryption into the key. That means that it's a one-use key. The recipients can't just take that wrapping key that you've derived and use it to impersonate you to the other recipients. And it switches the required encryption algorithm when you're using a multi-recipient. Actually, I think whenever you're using key wrapping, so you have to be using one that is a committed AEAD, which at the moment means only AES, CBC, HMAC, if that means anything.
It
so
does.
AES, AES 128 CBC HS 256 or AES 256 CBC HS 512.
That definitely adds some color to discussions that were had on Monday.
but it means at the moment you couldn't use ChaCha for the message encryption if you're using wrapped key, which means anytime you're using multiple recipients, which is the default assumption in DIDCOM at the moment.
Right. Okay. Well, and that will end up being a larger DIDCOM 2 discussion as we figure out how to accommodate for that. I mean, there may be where we need to go, you know, beg writers of other specs to update some stuff to use a committed AEAD, right?
Yeah. And it is kind of leaving some performance on the table at the moment if you always require key wrapping.
It is.
It's an extra but encryption.
But at the cost of complexity with multiple recipients, right? You can either assume multiple recipients or not. And since what you're encrypting is just the key, it's much smaller than all of the content, right?
Yes.
So it would be a minor improvement, but a minor one.
Okay, so if I understand, okay, I'm trying to make myself some to-dos here. I'm going to poke George about that open PR and see if we can see something for next week then. Because I'm kind of feeling like that's the goal.
I would love that.
Okay. I guess I'll make two PRs for DIDCOM group and here for this draft 4 thing. I'll have to see what this other one was again. Sorry, I forgot about that. Is there any other like open issues?
If you're poking him, just poke him about the open issues with tagged AIP2 that he's listed on. There's two here.
Okay.
And I think they're done, but we just wanted to confirm with him.
Okay. And
so this relates to the PR, and this one is open, and I think it's resolved, but like we haven't got a response from him that he feels like.
Yeah, I'll do that. I guess there's no action on 587 with the key ID right now, unless you want to change something, but right now it says DIDS. I'm personally.
Right. Yes. So I don't think there's any action on this right now. So I mean, And if we can do this and get this ratified, we may still have to come back and clarify some things. But I would love to get this wrapped up so it's a fixed target.
All right. So
I think would be really.
I'll open those two PRs for draft 4 and do some poking.
Okay.
Anything else?
Yeah.
I believe. The PR that was merged the other day, 658, is the one that deals with the DID versus DID doc attachments on 23. And it was approved by someone on the AFGO team. So that's why we merged it.
Wait, 658, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that relates to the same.
And that I'm pretty sure I put that in because of that discussion.
Oh, well, awesome.
Well, so the why don't I just close this other one as
I think it's addressed at 658, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, one less to do. Thanks, Stephen.
Let's see, 2021-0512. What was it?
658? Yeah.
Yep, there we go. Okay, we can reopen that one if necessary. Otherwise, we'll consider that one closed. Yep, so we're super close now. Steven's gonna take this one. Here's the accepted status transitions anyway. Here's the one that relates to the PR. And then the only active PR at this point is this one, not counting the actual AIP2 PR.
So the two things I was gonna do, or I intend to do with the final, once we're happy with it and we say we're good, one is that I will update all of the links to whatever is the very latest commit, so that it has, you know, it's all the current commits. All of the links go to the current commit of all of the relevant RFCs. And then the other thing I thought I would do is generate for all of the ones that have update, I will generate a link that contains the comparison between the old and the new, so that you can just click a link on each RFC to see the difference between what was in AIP1 and what was in AIP2. Does that make sense? I assume people want that. So
yeah, that's going to be super helpful when we're trying to.
Yeah, I think so. Right? We were looking at, okay, what have we got to do differently? And really, we're going to have devs look at every single PR, every single RFC. And the way to do that is just, okay, what's the text changed? Yep. Okay. So that's my plan for doing that once we're nailed down.
Awesome.
So I will be doing that this week.
Appreciate that. Anything else that we need to get done? Awesome. Let's make that stuff happen with the goal, crossing some fingers here, that we can ratify those changes and that we can ratify AIP2 next week.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
One of the things you ought to do, Sam, is maybe post a note to as many forums as we can, like, and maybe to the Aries mailing list to say, speak now.
It's a ratification notice for next week.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little nervous that we haven't heard from, like, the .NET folks aren't showing up, I don't think, very much at these, and I don't know how much they're following, whether it matters, I don't know. Okay.
I will message them specifically.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Cool. Awesome. All right, folks, I hope your week is an awesome one, and let's get this sorted. And then, yeah, Steven, if you've got some time on Friday, I'll take a look at it over the weekend. And if we could have something to kind of talk about, I think at the next Wacky PEX meeting, that would be super helpful.
Yep. Okay. Sounds good.
So in effort to not define new things, but rather just use existing things, maybe they might find our solutions already acceptable.
Yep.
Or if not, we'll know what specifically they don't, and we can focus on that.
Sam, so one of the things I was going to do is I was going to do it with AIP2 as opposed to DIDCOM2. So one of the things you should plan on is you're going to maybe do a second one that is DIDCOM2.
Does that make sense? That could make sense. Really, it will be pretty minor.
It should be pretty minor because, it's just a bit of JSON wrangling on the outer piece of it. But yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Cool.
Cool.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.